Now we have come back to the end of the ministry at our conference. And I can say from myself that I have never been at a conference that I've enjoyed any better. The conference started with Christ, and it's ending with Christ, and it yielded life for Christ. And there is absolutely nothing compared with Christ is all and in all. And if you go away from this conference and put into practice what you have been hearing, you'll find out if God spares you a year from now, you'll be a different boy and you'll be a different girl. You'll be a different man and a different woman. And I would hate to change the order of the conference even in the last few minutes. I just want to thank you all, though, before saying anything, for all the kindness and the love that has been shown to us, not only to me, but to my brethren. I have never saw better cooperation among preachers and among the hearers as well. And I can say that on the behalf of my brethren. They have been of one accord and of one mind. And I believe that's the reason that we have had such a wonderful time of fellowship together. Now I want to read a little portion just in keeping with what you have heard. You have been hearing about just a little cake for the Lord. Make me a little cake first. You know, I like that. I don't care how small a cake, but make a little cake for the Lord first. If you can't make a little cake for the Lord, don't attempt to make a big one. But bring at least a little cake to the Lord. She says, I'm going out to gather two sticks to do this. Then I'm going to die. Now that's the theme of our meeting this afternoon. We're going to live, and if the Lord be not come, we're going to die, although I don't know that we need to look for the undertaker, we're looking for the operator. But whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. And this woman, she said, I'm going to go out and get two sticks. Now remember, two sticks. The twos in the Bible has always got a deep meaning. Just don't mean just two sticks. Even with two little twigs or sticks, you wouldn't have much of a fire to bake a cake. But I'll tell you, friends, that woman had a little more than the two sticks in her mouth. I'm going to bake a little cake, and then I'm going to have these two sticks. I'm going to have the cross with a man nailed on it. Ah, friends, you can give the last bite in your mouth to the Lord, but let me tell you, you're still of Christ. When you speak of the cross, you speak of Christ. And apart from the cross, there's not one of us would be here this afternoon. Now turn with me, please, to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I'm going to read to you a few verses. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect on the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith the pass through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians assailed to do, were drowned. Now the Lord bless the portion that we have read together. Now here is a little story of a man that lived and a man that died. And in fact the whole chapter is given up as a cloud of witnesses of men that lived and men that died. And we read that they lived by faith, and thank God they died by faith. But in the entire chapter of the cloud of witnesses which takes in all these men that you've been hearing about, and many more, we have one man, and he has got more space than all the others. And that is Moses. And I'm not surprised that God has given him quite a little space here in this chapter 11, the fifth chapter. For when we come into Psalm 90, we're told that he was a man of God. And that's how we started our conference too. And then when we come into this book of Hebrews chapter 3, we are told that he was faithful in all his house. And when you come into the last book in the Bible, we find that Moses, the man of God, is recognized as a servant of God. And he's linked up with the Lamb in the center of the throne. Now there are seven things said about this man of God here, this man Moses, that had indeed a little of something to give to God in his life. Notice what they are, first of all. The first thing we find is in verse 24, their refusal of faith. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The second thing that you'll notice here was the choice of faith. In verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The third thing that is said about him, that is the estimate of faith. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the pleasures in Egypt. And the next thing that we see about him is the outlook of faith. He looks forward to the recompense of reward. And then we can see the courage of faith, not fearing the wrath of the king. The endurance of faith he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then we have that wonderful scripture that brings to our attention the obedience of faith. And to obey is better than sacrifice. And in Moses we see him as a man obedient. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. First of all, I noticed in connection with this man of God that he was brought up in a good Christian home. And he was brought up as some as we were hearing already during the conference. He was brought up with a sentence of death upon him. Every male child was to be thrown into the river Nile. And Moses was one of them. But thank God he had a father and mother that had a little cake for God. And that little cake were going to give Moses to God. We saw something in Moses. He was a proper child, and we're going to turn him over to God. That's what Hannah saw. You remember the adversary in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel? Why, it vexed that dear woman, that godly, saintly sister. He vexed her, the adversary, from day to day. Why, if you're a Christian, why is there no fruit in your life? And you can see the way the old devil, he came in and he provoked that woman from day to day. Of course, the devil would not provoke women in the city of Sioux City. Why is they, of course, were not provoked by Satan? At any rate, Hannah was provoked. He vexed her sore from day to day. And one day she got ahead of the devil. And I hope as this conference is over that you and I will get ahead of the devil, my friends. I never knew anything about the devil until God saved me. Oh, you say, you didn't know anything about the devil in your unsaved days. No, my friends. When God saved me, I found out there was a real devil. I found out, my friends, he was on my flesh more than he was in my unconverted days. I found out, my friends, that it was that he did his uttermost best to trip me and to lay snares for me in my daily pathway. And here is Hannah, and he vexed her sore. One day she stepped out, my friends, and she defied the devil. She came right in with her complaint before the Lord. And she says, here it is, Lord. The devil says that I can't have fruit because I'm just an old hypocrite. And she presented her case to the Lord. And we are told that she came in with her burden
heavy upon her, and she left it in the hands of the Lord, and thank God she went away, and Samuel 1 tells her she was no more sad. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, dear ones. As we leave the conference, if there's something that seems to be bothering you, and something that seems to be on your heart heavy, and something that seems to be troubling you, my friends, whatever it takes, take it to the Lord and leave it there. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. I remember when God was exercising me about preaching the gospel, there was two things in my life that I said I'd never do. One was I'd never get married. I broke that. I got married. And God gave me the wife that I've got. The second thing is I'll never preach again, because God let me down one time, I thought. When I was telling a number of cowboys how the Lord Jesus died for my sins, I took a severe hemorrhage and almost lost my life. And I said to God, I'll never open my mouth again to preach the glorious gospel. You let me down. I want to tell you, my friends, that I broke both of them. I was at it before I knew. After preaching again, the fire began to kindle within my soul. And here we find is Moses. And thank God for him. He's brought into the world in a time that is very, very trial. And we get his father and the mother. And it is now here he is, Lord. He's a proper child. And we'd like to give this child to you again. That's what Hannah said. And thank God they did. And then they provided a little ass for Moses. You know, first of all, they was well fortified in that home by prayer and by the word of God. If you have got children, I don't care how small they are, and it has been hit on already, don't wait until they get through the kindergarten. Don't wait until they get to 6 or 7 years of age. If you do, you're too late. Instill the word of God into that child from the very day it's born. My friend, if you're a father and mother of those dear little ones in the home, you get those little ones around you each day. Teach them the word of God. Tell them about the story of Calvary. And instill it into their young hearts. That's what they did with Moses. They fortified him well with the word of God and in prayer. And then the next thing we find about him, he grew up until they couldn't hide him from Pharaoh anymore. And thank God they didn't throw him over into the river Nile either. When he grew up and he began to make a little noise here and there, they just put him in the ark. Miler's no better place to put any of your children than in the ark of God providing. The ark of safety. When you speak of the ark, you speak of Christ. And that's the best place to have your children, in Christ. In Christ all is well. Not in Christ all is not well. And here he is now. And we find out he has grown up into maturity. And he has got right into Egypt. Right into the hands of the king. Right into Pharaoh's hands. And we see that he's in the line for the rulership. May you say if ever he's privileged with an opportunity to be somebody great, he set me in the right place now. Why, here he is. He's schooled in all the schools of his day. He's mighty in word and deed. Why, you talk about education, 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 education. And we're certainly living in a day of education. I'm not going to say one thing about it, my friend. But I do say this, that if ever a man was educated, it was Moses. He was mighty in word and deed. There were very few his equal in that day. And all you need to do, Moses, is just take the name of Pharaoh, and you'll be the king right over Egypt. My, you say he was in line for dignity, and he was in line for honor, and he was in line for the throne. And you say, surely, he will take that position. I don't think there's too many of us, if we were offered the job as a president of the United States, I think that most of us would grab it, don't you? I think of this brother, he would even throw the books down and go for it. And he was dear old Moses, and do you know, he was offered the throne, but he turned it down. He turned it down. He refused the name. I wonder, are we ready to refuse a name?
I remember when God saved me, and God forbid I should go back onto my own experience, but when God saved me, I belonged to the Church of England, which is Episcopalian. And you know, that's some church now, in the Church of Heaven. And I got saved right in the beginning of the week, on a Thursday night, I should say, in the middle of the week. And then around Saturday, I was reading in the Old Testament. My, you don't even get the church in the Old Testament. But I was reading in the book of Jeremiah. And as I was reading that wonderful verse, thy work was found, and I read my, it was a grand find to Jeremiah, great find. He found the word of God. It was a new book. And of course, when God saved me, this book was a new book to me too. Thy word was found, and I did eat it. My, it was the best meal. It was even better than the turkey that I eat last night going to bed. I'll tell you, it was a great book to find and to get to know the truth that it contains in that book, and then to feast upon it. Thy word was found, and I did eat it. It brought joy and prosperity to my soul. My, that's the result of eating it. But what brought me out of the Church of England was this. A great favor bestowed upon me, called by thy name. I got a new name. Not Episcopalian anymore. And I'm not speaking against Episcopalians, but God showed me when I was saved by his grace that I was a Christian, a Christ one, and I did not belong to the Church of England. And I didn't go anywhere on Sunday, believe it or not. And a little preacher came out to see me. I thank God for the shepherd's care of some of those men. I wish to God we would even have a little pattern taken from them. And he came out to him as he saw me. He said, I missed you in your class Sunday. I said, yes, you did. So I said, something happened to me on Thursday night at 9:30 o'clock. He said, what happened? He said, I got saved. And of course, he didn't know that word, although he too was well educated. You got saved. He says, you've been always a Christian. I says, no, I was a Christian just at 9:30 o'clock on Thursday night. I says, God saved me. And I says, I became a Christian, a Christ. Oh, he saw then that there was no use in rubbing the hair the wrong way, so he started rubbing it down. He says, you'll make a better pillar in our church than ever before. We need boys like you. But I said, I've got something to show you. I've got a new name. I'm not a Episcopalian anymore. I'm a Christian. Called by thy name, the Lord God of hosts. My name is changed. Oh, he says, we take that name too. Oh, but I says, look at the verse here. It says, let them return unto you, but return not thou unto them. I said, I'm glad you've come to see me, but I said, I'll never be back in your church. And I wish you had a song go. He came in fast, but he went out faster. And I've never been back in the Church of England except for funeral. You know the reason? I refused the name. And that's what Moses did. There's things, my friends, that you have to refuse. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's God. There was many things in the life of Moses that he refused, that we'll see a little later. The next thing was the choice he made. You know, we have to make choices. If you're unsaved in this meeting this afternoon, you do need to make a choice. There's a choice to be made between life and death. There's a choice to be made between heaven and hell. There's a choice to be made, my friend, between Christ and Satan. And if you're in this meeting, my friend, you have to make a choice. You'll have to go out of that door either serving one or the other. You'll go out of this door saying, yes, Christ for me. Or you'll go out of that door on the side with those that are against Christ. You must make a choice. And then on the other hand, if you're a Christian, you must make a choice. Take the world, but give me Jesus. You say, yes, I have choices to make every day. Yes, there's choices to be made for God every day. I remember when I used to be a boy, I'm just a boy yet, my wife says I'm a grown-up boy, one of our biggest boys. And I used to have a little hobby. I don't know whether I have them now or not. We had an old, what we call an old top. And we used to have a little piece of whipcord, and we'd wind it around like this. And then you'd hold it in your little finger, and you'd let go like this. See? And my, you'd say, listen to it sing. My, it's sure going now. It's singing. And then a little later, it'd begin to buzz. And then a little later, it'd begin to wobble. Look at it wobbling. And then a little later, it'd fall out of line. And you know, that's just exactly the way I've been for many years. You know, when God saved me, I was on fire for God. I began to voice for God. And then a little later, discouragement came in. When I found out that the devil was there to trip me. And I thought, my sins are all gone. And I discovered I still had the old carnal nature here. And once in a while, it would even spring up. You know, you have to die daily to that. Just the same as when he asked those dear children of Israel, when Joseph asked his own brethren, he says, is the old man yet alive? They said he's alive and in good health, and oft times he's fed better than the new one. And I discovered that he was alive. And oft times when I discovered he was alive, I began to walk. I'm sad to say, there's times when I fell out of life. I had to get down on my knees and confess my sin, but thank God for the work of the Advocate. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and thank God he restoreth my soul. I ask you as I go on, are you, my friends, budding for God? Or are you somewhere in the wobbling state, seemingly carried this way and then that way? God has told us to be well balanced. And we want to be well-balanced men and women for God. Here is this dear man Moses, and he made a choice. He chose to suffer afflictions with the people of God. He cast his lot in with God's dear people. If there's one thing that you and I ought to do, saved by the grace of God, you should cast your lot in with God's people. That's what the Apostle Paul did. When God saved him, he was seen coming in and going out with the people of God. There's no people on the face of God's earth like the people of God, my friends. With all their faults, with all their blemishes, there is none like them. And you and I should make them our people. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And if you make God's people your people, you'll find out you'll have the best company on earth. And so here he is. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then you'll notice something else that happened. Why, here he is, and he began to look at things. Why, did I do the right thing? Did I make the right choice? And as he began to look it over, we find that he was a good estimate. You know, that's something that's very important when you begin to build a building. You want to find out the price of the material. You want to find out, my friends, what the cost of labor will be. And many a man has went bankrupt because they were not good estimators. But thank God for Moses. He was one that could estimate in the right way. He looked forward to the recompense of reward. He looked forward to the judgment seat of Christ. He looked forward to that day when God is going to usher out the rewards. And thank God, he's not going to be the loser. So here he is, as he cast in his lot, the first thing we find out, that trials and difficulties comes up that he never expected. He thought, well, I'm just going to bring deliverance to God's people, I'm going to take things into my own hands. And God had to teach him a lesson in God's school. And the first thing we find, that he has left Egypt, and he's gone away to the backside of the desert. You can almost see him on the backside of the desert for 40 long years. And I say there were long years. And there he is, learning many a lesson that he couldn't learn in Egypt. Here's a man with all his education. Here's a man, my friend, that's mighty and what and big. What is he doing? He's over there in the desert taking care of a handful of sheep. That's what he's doing. He's caring for sheep. He didn't need to go so many years to college for that.
He didn't need to waste his time going to school all those years for that. Why, anyone could take care of sheep. My friend, that's what God sent him to do. He sent him into the wilderness to care for sheep. And I tell you, that's something that's needed today. We need men and we need women that has got a heart for God and a care for the people of God. We need women, my friends, like that woman there. She saw the man of God going by. And she says to her husband, and there weren't all widows that God used. God used other women that wasn't widows, women that had husbands. And she says to her husband, you know, that's a man of God that's going by. And we'd let you have a little room in our house. And we'd let you take him in and entertain him. And she persuaded her husband to build a little room in the wall. And to put a stool in at the table, just the things that's necessary. And when a man of God goes by, so he's done it. And you remember, that woman, God says, was a great woman. She was great in faith. She was great in discernment. She was great in hospitality. She was great, God says, she was a great woman. And now we come back here to Moses, and right at the back of the desert, he's there for 40 years taking care of pure God's sheep. One day God appears to him. The bush is gone. And as that bush is gone, oh, you can see, this is an unusual sight. Oh, but you say, you know, I'm going on sightseeing. Well, Moses at least turned around to see an unusual sight. And when he turned around, he heard a voice out of the bush. Moses, Moses, take your shoes off your feet. The place where I'm now standing is holy ground. You can't approach this bush. You're approaching God. Moses was afraid. And God spoke unto Moses. Says, now Moses, you have been obedient to me. You have stayed here taking care of a few sheep in the wilderness. Now he says, I want you to lead God's sheep out of the wilderness. I want you to take them out of Egypt. And I want you to take them into the promised land. And after much persuasion, oh, he says, listen now, you know, I can't talk. And you know, it's funny to me, some of these people that can't talk, they can put up quite an argument, can't they? And he put up quite an argument with God, and God says, who made man's mouth in it? And he said, if you can't talk, I'll give you arm. And he gave him his brother arm, which were a hindrance to him the whole way. And finally he went. And you know all about the story. It wasn't long, my friend, until he took them out of Egypt. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They were feeding there, my friend, in Egypt on the roast lamb. That speaks of Christ in his death. And then he took them through the Red Sea. And my, you can see them there. He took them through the Red Sea. My, again, there's trials and there's testings of one kind and another. One day, oh yes, now listen, we don't have any bread in this place. And they began to murmur about bread. And the next day, they began to murmur about water. And the next day, they began to fight one with the other. It's too bad when God's dear people begins to murmur and complain and to fight with one another. And here is Moses. Oh, my. He's in bad shape. And God says, listen, Moses, I want you to come up into the mountain with me. And God takes him up into the mountain for 40 days. You know you can't stay 40 days in the mountain with God and come down the same way. When he takes him up into the mountain for 40 days, while he comes down, his face is shining, and Israel can't look upon his face. You couldn't stay, my friends, in the presence of God for 1 minute and come back the same way. When you go into the presence of God, there's something empowered upon you. The very presence of God changes the lives of men and women. And Moses, when he came down, he wished not that his face shone. He carried 2 tables of stone in his hand. You know the story. When he saw and he looked down, he saw what was going on. He had made a molten calf. And they were worshiping the calf. And the first thing on the table of stone says, thou shalt have no gods before. And I want you to look at the scene. There he is. And his heart is broke again. He throws the tables of stone down. And what happens? God comes down. He says, listen, Moses. You refused the throne in Egypt. Now he says, I'm going to do something greater than the throne of Egypt for you. I'm going to blot out these dear people, 2.5 million of them. I'm going to blot them completely off the land of the living. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. My, I can see him jumping up this one. This is not Pharaoh that's talking. This is the living God that's talking to him. I'm going to blot them out and I'm going to make a great man out of you. My friend Moses didn't want any greatness in this old world. Moses was willing to refuse everything for one thing. And if you want to live a consecrated life for God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to be a disciple of Christ. Didn't cost you a red cent to be saved, but it's going to cost you something to live for God. And here is Moses. I looked into the face of the living God, my friends, as none but Moses could do it. And he says, listen, I don't want any of the greatness in this old world. I don't want to be made great in this old world. If you're going to blot out God's dear people, I don't want to be here when God's people are taken away. Take me away first. Take me away first. My friend, it's not enough to have a little cake given to the Lord first. But if the people of God are taken away, take me away first. We have a teaching that's coming out among us, and I'm afraid of the old thing. It's coming out, my friends, among ourselves. And that is teaching that there's a split rock. It's only those that are looking for grace that say that will go. Let me tell you from the authority of this book that I hold in my hand, that when God's people go, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here, my friend. When God's people go, I want to go with them. And the Spirit of God will go too. And woe unto them that are left behind. Don't you let anyone fool you that there's going to be a split rapture, if you want to call it like that. You're not looking for the Antichrist. You're not looking, my friends, for this great battle of Armageddon. We're looking for the coming of Christ. There's so much things today coming in by your way of ministry that you have to be on your knees before God. And here is Moses, he said, I don't want to be here. You take me away now as you're going to take God's people away. And he stood right in the breach and God repented. He goes on down the lane a little more. And as he goes down the lane a little more, they come right to the very shore of Canaan. And he's about to take them over. And they're sending these spies to spy out the land. And you know they brought back the wrong report. 10 against 2. And here they are. We're ready to stone Moses. Ah, friends, God comes down again and says, I'm going to disinherit these people. I'm going to make you a great man. Oh, no, 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 no. What will Pharaoh say when he hears that you failed to bring the people into the land? And again, did Moses lose? Did Moses lose? He refused everything for one thing, and that was fellowship with his God. Fellowship with his God. I wonder, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Am I willing to do that? It's going to cost me something. My friend Moses didn't lose. And I'm going to have to stop before I get to the end, too. He didn't lose. When it come to the place, as our brother Bath was saying, of dying, God didn't even let human hands touch the body of Moses. Clean hands took the body of Christ there. But God was so particular about Moses, the servant of God. He honored God, and God's going to see to it he's going to honor him. And he did something with Moses he didn't do with anyone else. He said, Moses, I want you to take a little walk with me today. And he takes them right up into the mountain. He says, Moses, I'm going to leave your body here. I'm going to bury the body that you have tabernacled in those years in service for me. Neighbor's lonely mountain in this side Jordan's way. There God opened the little grave and he buried the body of Moses there and he took Moses up to be with himself. You talk about honor. I don't see any, my friend, that's honored like Moses. Moses, in the 15th chapter of Revelation, he's lit with the Lamb in the center of the throne. Moses, the man of God. The man that knew to refuse the evil and choose the good. Then here he is. And I want you to see again, because this chapter is just a little picture of what the judgment seat of Christ is going to look like. When your life and my life is all boiled down at the judgment seat of Christ, it won't take a big volume of a book.
to write your life. There's several at me for to write my life story. My friend, I won't need to write it. God will write it. And if I wrote it, it'd probably take a lot of space. But you know, when God writes it, it won't take much space. When everything's boiled down and your work's so tried by fire, let me tell you, friends, it won't take more than a line. And here is Moses. And thank God, it says concerning him that he looked forward to the recompense of the war. He estimated everything to the end of the journey. What's my reward going to be? If death overtakes me, or the coming of the Lord overtakes me, will it be the well done, thou good and faithful servant? Will you be able to say that if you come to the end of the line today, if you come to the stop, where you must leave, would you be able to say to him, yes, Lord, I'm now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but to all them that loves of me. Thank God, my friends, you and I, saved by the grace of God, should love his appearance. Looking for that blessed hope, the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I'll skip the rest, but I'll take the last one for a moment. Here is this man, Moses, and we read that he kept the Passover on the sprinkling of the blood. He was obedient. In the little while that we're left here, God has given us something to keep. He says to keep the feast of remembrance in remembrance of him till he comes. I know that the old devil and others would like to take that from us. But Moses, the man of God, kept the Passover. I wonder, could it be said of me that we have kept the little feast of remembrance? What's that? There's two ordinances, just two. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Some say there's three, but there's not three really taught in the Bible. Now, with all my respect to those of God's people that believe in the third one, you can test it this way. First of all, if it's taught in the four Gospels, and you have baptism taught in the four Gospels. Second, if you have got it in the Acts of the Apostles, and third, if you've got it practiced in the seven church epistles, you know it's true. And you get that in baptism. Baptism is an ordinance, a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it's got nothing to do whatsoever with salvation. It's an ordinance. You can put the test to that. It'll stand the test. You can do the same thing with the Lord's Supper. It's in the Gospels. It's in the Acts of the Apostles. It's practiced in the Church Epistles. But you can take the third one, which they refer to as feet washing. Now you won't get it, and it won't stand the test. First of all, you have it in one gospel. That's the 13th chapter of John. And you have the Lord Jesus, when the disciples is coming in with their tired, and their feet is in those old hot sandals, he meets them, takes the place of a slave, puts the towel around them. The towel was a linen towel, speaking of the righteousness of Christ. And then it was gathered around him, that speaks in the spirit in which it was done. And he got down, he took that humble place, the place of a slave. And he took the sandals of those disciples of his. And he wiped the sand from off their feet. And then, when you come into the Acts, you don't get it there at all. But when you come into one of the epistles, one of the church epistles, you find it there in connection with the widows. If she has wiped the saints' feet. Now the only thing about it is this, that you get it as hospitality in the home, but you never once get it as an ordinance given to be kept by the church. Here is Moses, and he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. May the Lord enable us to keep the ordinances as he has given them to us until he comes. Now, I'm not going to keep you any later. I trust that I've said nothing that would take from what you have heard this afternoon. I believe that each one of us will have a holy determination to live so for God, that we will be bubbling up, heart indicted in a good matter, speaking of the things touching the King,
that our life will be so that it'll just be bubbling over for God. And as our brother said this afternoon, it's only the overflow that God gets anything out of. Make sure that God gets a little cake from you from this day forward until the day when God takes you to be forever with Himself. And if you do, one of these days too, you'll be able to say, yes, I'm ready to go. Time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. Kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me. And then you'll hear those words, well done. I'll tell you, you'll never regret living for God then. If you live godly in this old world, you'll suffer persecution, but you'll never regret one thing you've done for God then. When you hear those words, well done, that will repay for everything you've done. May the Lord bless this one. Thank you.